Take your Bibles, turn to the end of the book, book of Revelation. We're going to be in chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21. give me a hearing this morning. Don't brand me as a heretic yet. I'm going to challenge some unpopular thinking this morning, some things that we say that aren't necessarily biblical. Some of the doctrine that we get from our songs, and some of the songs, they need something that's going to go good with the words, and so they add a few things in that aren't necessarily biblical. So you should get your doctrine from God's Word, not necessarily from the hymns, although there are good hymns and good doctrine therein. I'll give you an example of that in just a moment. Revelation 21 talks about heaven. Of course, you go through the Bible, you start in Genesis, you're dealing with the creation. Of course, that's dealt with all the way through. You find heaven. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's in verse 1. And we're in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Where is this? I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Who's going to be there? We are. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, these words are faithful and true." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Verse 10 speaks, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain." and again, let's just read verse 10. "He carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto a stone." Verse 12, we have a description of that. A wall great and high, 12 gates, 12 angels. Verse 14, there are 12 foundations. Verse 16, we know that the city is four square. Verse 19, we know that there are all kinds of special precious stones. Verse 22, we know that there is no temple there. "For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Well, verse 23, "The city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth it, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning, that we would take away some information, some truth that would help us in our explanation, our understanding, our soul winning, that we would get our doctrine from your word and understand the importance of what you have laid out before us and emphasize what you emphasize. And I thank you for what you do this morning. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I said to Mrs. Bishop last night, I think, it's going to be interesting this morning because I'm going to challenge some popular thinking. And say, Pastor, what in the world could you challenge? We're talking about heaven. Everybody knows we're on our way there. There's a song written about Revelation 21. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. That's a neat song, and that's pretty doctrinally correct until you get to the chorus. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion. John 14. In my house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. A harp and a crown. Chrissy Oliver hated that part of the song because she would come up to me, we would sing that, and she'd go, show me in the Bible where it says we're going to have harps. Well, that's probably not a good doctrinal part of that song, but they needed it to fill out the line, so you had to put something in there. And then a crown. Is everybody going to get a crown? I don't think so. There will be crowns that are distributed, and maybe the songwriter is saying that he's got a crown coming, and maybe that's true. But when you sing that, do you have a crown? I don't know. So, interesting, we're going to talk about heaven this morning and try to give you an eternal biblical perspective and not a perspective that comes from the song. We're going to walk around with angel wings. You watch Hollywood and I don't remember what that, It's a Wonderful Life, where the guy comes in and he gets a second chance to live life, and the little bell rings on the tree, and the kid said, hey, Daddy, that means an angel got its wings. And Daddy goes, yeah, that's correct. That's not biblical. Okay, angels don't earn their wings. You're not going to have wings, I don't think. And I don't see you walking around playing a harp. Now, maybe if you play maybe a harmonica, maybe you'll have those in heaven. Miss Frank like that, but I don't know that you're going to be walking around with a heart and angel's wings fluttering about from here, hither and yon. But here's a question. What happens when we die? How do you explain death? If you were talking to a child, how do you explain death? If you're out soul winning, what would you do? Well, I know. I would reach in my pocket and I would pull out my favorite gospel tract. And the track says, how to be 100% sure of heaven according to the Bible. And I like the track, and it's an attention getter. When I have that sticking in my pocket, and what sticks out is how to be 100% sure. And people go, they'll look at that. If I forget to be a soul winner and forget I'm supposed to be giving out a gospel track, somebody look at it and then go, how to be 100% sure of what? Oh, yeah, I'm the preacher. I'd be 100% for sure of heaven. And I'll pull that out and I'll hand that to them. And I'm not opposed to having that or saying that. Child comes up to you and says, where did Grandma go? Grandma died. She's in the casket. And we have a tendency to say, she went to heaven, where she will be with Jesus forever. Right? Isn't that what we say? That's just not a biblical statement. Now I've got your attention. Say, well, if it's not a biblical statement, if we're not going to be with Jesus in heaven forever, then what happens when we die? I want to give you that perspective this morning. we'll be with Jesus forever for certain. But in heaven forever, I just say it's an oversimplification, and we have a tendency as people to emphasize the place And the place is here. Heaven is a real place. It's got dimensions. It's got gates. There's no temple. The gates aren't closed. This holy city is coming down from God out of heaven. Just what it says. How do you explain that? I don't know that I can. But again, we emphasize the place. And sometimes in doing so, I think we oversimplify eternity and we miss some important theology along the way. And so we're going to try to expand on your understanding of eternity. Now, Jesus is talking to the disciples in John 14. Some of you have already written me off, I know. John 14 is a very familiar passage. So Jesus is going to talk to his disciples about heaven. And what does he emphasize? Well, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." We talked about this just recently, the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me." And the emphasis in John 14, he talks about heaven, he talks about the place, talks about the mansion, but the emphasis is that they are going to be, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the emphasis to the thief is not the destination, it's not the place, but that he is going to be with Jesus. Paul, he's a pretty good guy in the New Testament. For your brand, the preacher as a heretic, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Absent from the body, be present in heaven." Now, that's not how he explains it to them. He says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." That's what he says. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Let me go there and just read that for you. Again, church at Corinth, he's describing eternity. Verse 1, "We know, we groan, we have an earnest expectation, we have a confidence. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord." And he's not emphasizing the place. He's emphasizing the person. When we tell people, when we lead people to Christ, we emphasize the place. And I'm just saying, I want you to think about the fact that God himself emphasized that where he was going to be, there we would be. To the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me." Paul, in writing about that, said, listen, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm not opposed to talking about the place. I'm not going to write to the gospel tract guy and say, "Hey, you need to redo the front on your tract." But I'm just saying, and it's a good conversation starter. I would say, "Are you 100% for sure of heaven?" We emphasize the place. Where I think we should be emphasizing the person, Jesus Christ. Now, you want to visit some places? There's lots of great places to visit. Machu Picchu, Peru, ancient Indian city, set high in the Andes Mountains, a beautiful place that you could go visit. The Great Wall of China, a massive fortification spanning thousands of miles across China. It's an impressive place. Have you been there? No, I haven't been there. I've seen pictures. Do you have any interest in going there? Not really. How about Machu Picchu, Peru? No, not really. How about the Taj Mahal? This is kind of interesting. We had a presidential delegation at the Taj Mahal and one of the drivers of one of the president's vehicles backed into the building. You want to talk about an expensive expensive accident? That would probably be over your deductible. I'm not sure the guy still has a job today. But, Pastor, you want to go visit the Taj Mahal? Not really. Mrs. Bishop came to me after the service, and she said, I want to go visit the Taj Mahal. Would you go with me? I would go just to be with her. Well, we'll get in the car to do something, and she said, well, so where are we going to go? I said, I don't care as long as it is with you. The places don't mean any. I shouldn't say that. I enjoy going to places, but more of the enjoyment than going to a place is the person that I'm going to be there with. Christ emphasizes himself. You're going to be with me. Today thou shalt be with me. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul had that mindset. So, Pastor, do you think it's biblical for us to say, I'm going to be with heaven for Jesus for all eternity? No. For starters, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. People ask the question, what are we going to do in eternity? Like it's going to be some kind of boring place. Well, for starters, those that are in heaven today are planning a big trip away from heaven. What is that big trip? Let me go here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, talks about this trip that people who have died, that have gone on to be with Jesus in heaven, are not going to be there for all eternity. Because there's an event called the rapture. Notice where they are. But I would have, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, you get ready for the trip, will God bring with him. Now, we know that. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the great streets by and by. We sing that song, and we talk about the rapture, and we talk about meeting our loved ones in the air. That just made your statement that Grandma is going to be in heaven with Jesus for all eternity. That just made that false. We need to tell our kids the truth. Grandma, right now, Grandma's in heaven, but someday Grandma's going to come back with Jesus, and we're going to meet Grandma in the air. Don't miss the doctrinal stuff that goes along with it. What's the emphasis? That Grandma is with Jesus. And so they got this. And what is Grandma doing right now? I don't know, but there's a big trip coming up. Big trip. Oh, man, it's going to be exciting. And we're going to take a trip if you know Christ is your Savior. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to meet Grandma's coming with Jesus. Will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So is the Lord really going to come? Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So where's Grandma now? Is she not in heaven? But she's with Jesus. Jesus took a trip down on this earth. We'll meet the Lord in the air. Now the emphasis is that we will be with Jesus for all eternity. Grandma's going to be, she received God's salvation. Grandma's going to be with Jesus for all eternity. Again, that is consistent with John 14, as Jesus said to his disciples, that where I am, there ye may be also. When Christ, Jesus Christ is in heaven, we'll be there with him. When Christ comes at the rapture, then those that have gone on will be with him there. Turn me to Revelation chapter 20.
And I saw an angel come down from God out of heaven.
I saw an angel come down from God out of heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. What I find interesting about Revelation chapter 20 is that there are preachers running around that and
Bible theologians
that say there is no millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ. I don't know. What do you do with Revelation chapter 20? Over and over and over again, it talks about a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ. Where is that going to be? Here on earth. So now, we have just said to our kids, Grandma is with Jesus in heaven for eternity. We've got them coming back in the rapture. What happens then? Well, there's 7 years of tribulation. Where will we be? We'll be in heaven. But then after that 7 years of tribulation, we're coming back here. How long? For at least 1,000 years. What are we going to do? We're going to rule and reign with Christ, are we not? So when we say, again, just oversimplistic, are you 100% for sure you're on your way to heaven? Maybe we should say, are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Back to the air? Back to heaven? Back on earth for 1,000 years? It's just an oversimplification of truth. And again, we're emphasizing a place and not the person. Ms. Bishop and I got married, and we went on a honeymoon. And on our honeymoon, we went to Washington, D.C., of all places. We had never been, I had never been there before. We came to Washington, D.C. We had no idea that we were going to end up here forever. We would have probably gone to the Taj Mahal if we'd known that. So when it was a wedding day, and people said, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And all we talk about is the place, right? That's all wedding is, right? It's about where we're going. No, it's not about where you're going. It's about each other. It's about spending a lifetime together. A wedding is about not the place you're going for 7 days on a honeymoon. It's about spending your life together. But when it comes to heaven, we have a tendency to talk about eternity. We talk about the place, heaven, and not the person. What do you think your spouse would feel, your loved one would feel, if you were always talking about the place and never talked about them? Would you always excited about going somewhere, not with them? Like, yeah, go with you. Oh, it really doesn't matter to me. That's not very romantic. That's not very loving. And so when Mrs. Bishop and I are going somewhere, she said, what are we going to do while we're there? And my response to her is always, I really don't care what we do as long as we're together. As long as we're together. When it comes to eternity, I just want to be with Jesus. And I don't care whether that's in heaven or in the air or ruling from New Jerusalem, because he's the one that we love, right? But I just wonder if he doesn't get a little heartbroken with us that we emphasize, oh man, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. And is that biblical? Sure, it's got a biblical content to it, but then we emphasize a place and not the person. Again, we miss a lot of good doctrine along the way. We struggle with, what are they going to do up there forever? We're going to be with Jesus, for starters. You're going to be a rapture. People get on a spaceship, and they blast off to outer space. And what is it, millions of dollars to go on one of those trips that you spend 7 minutes in space? I'm going to the edge of space. I'm going to meet the Lord up there, Are you going to fall? No, not going to fall. You're going to meet me there. We're going to have a grand reunion up in the clouds. How amazing is that? Revelation chapter 20, notice verse 4. Where we were in the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where we were back here on earth, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. That would be you. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived, notice the emphasis, they lived in heaven. That's not what it says. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Heaven is such a boring place. I don't know what I... Seriously? We are going to live and reign with Christ. How long have you lived? 22 years. Man, 1,000 years. You're going to reign with Christ. Where? Right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul, in talking to the church at Corinth, he emphasized that to them. Say, hey, there's going to be time when you come back. There was a dispute in the church, and they were going to the courts. And Paul said, man, don't you folks know Bible doctrine? That during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, that you are going to rule on this earth? You are going to be judges? And can't you judge in the least of these matters? 1 Corinthians 6, 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? These weren't criminal matters. 1 Corinthians is not talking about criminal stuff. That belongs to the state. But stuff that is not criminal, we should be handling that. We should be settling disputes between one another when they arise. Not, I'll tell you what. Rick, I'm taking you to court. I'm going to sue you because you backed into my car, or you spit on my shoe. You know, and I'm gonna sue you for the cleaning bill on my suit. And God's, 1 Corinthians, that's what they were doing. They were taking fellow believers to court for trivial matters that were not criminal. They were all civil stuff, civil judgments. Paul said, that's not right. You're going to reign with Christ? You're going to be judges? And shouldn't you start judging now in some of those areas? Use your brain. 2 Timothy. Paul's talking about it to Timothy. And so Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, Christ, we shall also live in heaven? No, that's not what he said. Paul said to Timothy, we shall also live with him. He's saying, when you go through your Bible and you read this, again, Revelation 21 talks about the place, the city four square, coming down from God out of heaven. So where is that going to be? I'm not quite sure how that all unfolds there. But I'm just... It just limits our ability to talk to people. And so kids walk away with the thought of, man, you're going to be in heaven with a harp? What a boring place. It's going to be an exciting place. And we got some travel going on. And we're going to be in some places. And we're going to be ruling the world with Christ. The kids called me up last year. Oh, kids. David called me up last year. He said, Dad, we want to hike the Grand Canyon with you. And I'm thinking, well, you better do it quick. because I'm not getting any younger. And so he says, so what do you think? And then he said, now listen, Dad, if you're not going to do this, then I'm not going to do all the planning. And I, okay. And then I said, now, so if you want to do this, then don't do it in the summertime, because I'll die in the heat, right? Do it when it's, and don't do it when it's packed snow. You can ski down, but fast, that hard stop at the bottom might be painful. He said, do it when it's cooler. Do it in a cooler month. He said, oh, okay. And I said, I don't think that I can handle the heat. I like to hike Old Rag 5 miles up, 5 miles down. I think that's a lot of fun. But it's shaded the whole way up, except for to get to the top, across the top. And I can do that. Young people, when I hike Old Rag with them, they kind of look at me like, because I'm an old man, right? And to stop at the crossback and catch my breath. And I'm sure it sounds like I'm going to die. I was working with David on a project several years ago, and I was up in the attic, and it was hot, and I was... And he said, Dad, do not die in the attic. Do not die up here. Okay, I'll wait till I get down out of the attic before I die. I just don't sound like a young man. Anyways, he said, do you have a desire to hike the Grand Canyon? No. But if the kids are going to do it, I would enjoy being with them. I would enjoy that event, not because it was some thing on my bucket list, but I would enjoy it because I'm going to be with them. And with our attitude and our perspective towards heaven, I think it should be similar to that. It would certainly be biblical. It's certainly what Jesus emphasized. It's certainly what Paul emphasized to the church in Corinth and to the young preacher Timothy, that they're not talking about, hey, you're going to heaven. Hey, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. You're going to be with Jesus. You're going to be with Jesus. You're going to be with Jesus. You're going to be with your Savior, the one that you love, the one that you live for. And that's what is going to make it a great city. The city of Petra in Jordan, ancient city carved into rose-colored rock. Lots of people go there. They visit it. I've seen pictures. Do you want to go there? Not particularly. What if Mrs. Bishop was going there? I would go there with her. And it would be a special place because I was with her. We would take pictures of the two of us together there. Because I would just want to be with her. The place, what makes the place? She makes the place. What makes the place? Jesus makes the place. That's in heaven. That's in the clouds. That's from Jerusalem. I just want to be where he is. That should be our emphasis. So I'm not opposed to using the gospel track. I'm going to continue to use it. I like it. I'm about to do another order, updating the picture on the back, so we'll get an old man picture on there and not the young 37-year-old, right? I'm not going to have a problem with somebody say, if you go up to the door and say, are you 100% for sure you're on your way to heaven, or have some doubt? I'm not opposed to the question for a conversation starter, but we really should move the conversation to the person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Start with heaven. The Bible certainly talks about the place in Revelation chapter 21. So what about heaven? What does the Bible say about heaven? Well, I mentioned that, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Webster's 1828 dictionary describes that in Genesis 1:1 as this: the region or expanse which surrounds the earth, which appears above and around us like an immense arch or vault in which are seen the sun, the moon, and the stars in the skies. But when it talks about Revelation chapter 21, Webster's 1828 dictionary gives it this definition: expressing the place as viewed by Christians the power of space in which the omnipresent Jehovah is supposed to afford more sensible manifestations of his glory. Hence, this is called the habitation of God and is represented as a residence of angels and blessed spirits. Notice how Webster's 1828 dictionary goes immediately to a person. Because that's the emphasis. That should be ours. Deuteronomy chapter 26. I'm going to give you just several scriptures here, and then we'll close. Deuteronomy 26, verse 14, I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people. That was certainly biblical. They talked about the place in the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then that last verse, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And then we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Philippians to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I want, I shall, what I choose, I want not. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with in heaven? No, that's not what Paul said. To be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. But Paul's emphasis to the church at Corinth, Paul's emphasis to the church at Philippi, was that he is going to be with Jesus. Again, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Luke 23:43, again, we've talked about that, the thief on the cross. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. John 14:3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So what is a better answer? I would say we should err with Paul and err with Jesus Christ. To the thief, to the 12 disciples, and say, where's Grandma? Grandma has gone to be with Jesus. What's Grandma doing? Oh, wow. You know Grandma, she loved to pack. And she got a big trip coming up. She got a big trip coming up? How do you know that? Well, God's Word tells us, Thessalonians. And we're going on that trip. What a wonderful way to explain to a child, are you ready for that trip? Are you ready to go be with Jesus? Are you ready to go meet Grandma in the air? Early Christians emphasize Jesus. Tertullian, in 155, he talked about the immediacy of the believer being with the Lord. The early church writers, early church fathers, they did not emphasize the place, they emphasized the person. Early Christians in the Roman catacombs, you read their epitaphs, indicated that they were at rest and in peace in Christ. As far as I know, the epitaphs that I read, I did not see a single one that said of those early Christians that were from the catacombs that said, I'm in heaven. They said, I'm at rest. I'm at rest in Christ. I'm with Jesus. But they emphasize that. So where have we got that along the way? I would say probably in the last 100 years, where we have started to stress the place and not the person. Certainly in my lifetime, we emphasize the place. Are you 100% for sure of heaven? That's in the last 100 years. But that hasn't been historic. So where are you going to go? Let's go to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, teeming with a coral reef system, teeming with marine life. Only if she goes. It was said of me when I was in Bible college, you will be the same 10 years from now except for the books you read and the people you meet. It did not say the places you go. You'll be the same person 10 years from now except for the books you read and the people you meet. Because people are what life is all about. So when a preacher says, I would love the ministry if it wasn't for the people, it's not a good biblical response. What a shame to see all the sights alone with no one to share them with. What a shame to miss heaven and to miss seeing the most wonderful, eternal love of the one who went to Calvary's cross and died for your sin. To be in Christ. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter. No crape on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt or destroy. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the eyes. There's no disappointment in heaven. No envy or strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. And soon I will join their bright number and dwell in eternities there. You have to get to the fourth verse before you have any mention of the Savior. They're safe now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcame sin and the tempter. They've reached that fair city at last. I like the song. It's a beautiful song. I enjoy hearing the song sung. I'm just saying our emphasis should not be the place. Our emphasis should be the person. Jesus Christ. My Savior who died for me, went to Calvary's cross and died for me. In the Lord's Supper, we remember Christ's sacrifice, not a place. We remember the person. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Just think we should be remembering Jesus. Remember that day when you trusted Christ as your Savior? Those burdens were lifted. Shame and guilt of sin gone. And you had hope for eternity. Hope to be with a person that loved you enough to die for you. And this morning you don't know that. You don't know that person. You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for just a moment. Stand to our feet. The piano is playing. The altar is open.